Every pastor in this town was invited to come. They chose to have a Palm Sunday service.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on October 16th, 2024, and is titled Passover Reinstated. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
In a lead up to Holy Week, which is nothing more than a money grab to put in a pot that they won't give away. That's just the truth of it. Now, I'm just going to tell the truth because really I'm kind of ready for somebody to call me out. I want to know I'm doing some good and I'd like to be tested. Nobody showed up. You know why? They won't come to the altar of the Lord. They're going to sit around and eat their unleavened bread. They're going to drink each other's Kool-Aid. They're going to have their little gatherings, their little pastor conferences and all their little stuff. They're going to sing Kumbaya together when none of them agree on anything, but they'll pretend to agree on Jesus, but they won't get in the fight. They won't pick a spot. They won't stand their ground. They won't tell their story. They won't come out of the hut. They won't move in the power of the Holy Ghost outside that building. They live in protective custody. They're living on their salaries and living on their pensions, and their house is paid for, the car's paid for, and the gasoline's paid for. I got news for everybody. You want to clean up the temple? Quit paying the hirelings. Let's find out who's called. Let's find out today who's called. Because if you're called and you say yes to God, you'll pay your own way if you have to. Let's find out. Tear up the check. Let's do last man standing. What do you think? How are we doing, Murph? If anybody's needing to leave, we can pray one more time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Verse 19 of chapter 23. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, and he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. One of the holiest places around, and they prostituted it. And he said he executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God. It is written in this book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums, spiritists, the household gods and idols, all abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. He reinstated the Passover. Real quick, in 2 Chronicles 30. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover. They made an adjustment because the priests weren't consecrated by the 14th day of the first month. They made an adjustment and gave a 30-day reprieve and kept the Passover anyhow. It was very important. For they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together in Jerusalem. over here in Ezra, just turn a little more to the right, a couple clicks. Ezra chapter 6, verse 19. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, for the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were ritually clean. And they had slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity, for the brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel who had returned from the captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. Hold on a minute. All those who returned from captivity. You see, church, I believe because of this message, two things can happen. One, I believe people that have been seeking the Lord where he can't be found are going to return to the kingdom of God. They're going to come. It's called revival. The 1740 kind. The 1815 kind. Revival. They're going to come. And you know who they're going to join up with? They're going to join up with those who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them. God turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them. God turned the king of the heart of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. There's no excuse to be weak. There's no excuse for the world to shape the body of Christ differently from the way the Spirit of God would shape and mold the body of Christ. There's no excuse for our religion to mold and shape the body of Christ. There's no excuse for our religion to mold and indoctrinate the minds of the body of Christ in a way that religion sees fit. You see, the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. It's time to tear down the Asherah poles. It's time to remove. I heard they took them banners down over at that church in Clovis. I hope so. I hope we take some more stuff down before it's all over with. I hope Cadbury and Reese's go out of business. They probably won't. We'll just let the pagans do it, because we've separated ourselves from the filth of the nations. You know what's wrong in America today? We've bragged on ourselves and petted on ourselves so much that we think everything that happens under a steeple or behind a stained glass window has to be God. And if any two of you are together, then the Lord is there with you. Well, let me tell you something. If the Lord is there with you, then there will be an understanding of the Word. There'll be knowledge of the Word. The law will come out of your mouth. There'll be DNA of God, miracles, signs, wonders, people speaking in tongues. There'll be people giving interpretation. We'll raise the dead, heal the sick, make the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. It won't have a cotton-picking thing to do with a potluck supper. The Passover is obedience to God. That's why the Bible says in Romans or Hebrews 11 that Moses kept the Passover. A couple of days after Joshua crosses over to the Jericho, crosses over into the land of Canaan, the promised land, he exercised the Passover. Jesus was crucified at the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5 says, he is our Passover. He's our Passover lamb. The night before he was crucified, Now, we don't have a cup and bread. We got to doing things a little different around here, and I'll tell you why. I didn't like the way some people were dipping their bread, and then I was having to dip after them. I mean, really. I don't eat in nasty restaurants either, so we're going to do it a little bit different. But doesn't matter. This is what's so pathetic sometimes about Christianity. You're going to get so bound up in the details that you miss the reality of it all. And he stood before his disciples that night, and he broke a loaf of bread, and he said, "This is my body given for you." Let me ask you, what did he tell them the day before? Did he not tell them that there was a house to go to and there'd be somebody waiting? Did he not tell them there was an upper room? To do what? To eat the Passover. Now, I'm sure they had a regular Seder meal, whatever that looked like. But this part that displayed the true Passover lamb, not a sheep in a pen, but the Savior of the generations. You see, when he told Abraham to take Isaac up on the hill, he was testing the obedience of a man. Don't sacrifice the generations. There's a ram in the bush. He became our Passover lamb so that we could be saved and we could have the knowledge of God and we could be the temple of God, that we could possess the law of God and we could live our lives in a way of righteousness, not a way of religion, that we would bring forth godly offspring. Do you know that's been the intent and purpose of God since the very beginning? That's why he made man and woman, to bring forth godly offspring. Let me tell you something, church. While we've been playing church, who told you it was okay to let somebody else teach your kids about Jesus? Come on, I'm preaching good. Because it didn't work. It didn't work. You had the little boogers, now fix them. Read them the Bible, turn them upside down when necessary, and then love on them at all times. They're yours. God gave you that gift and he gave you that responsibility. Gift and responsibility go hand in hand. Gift and responsibility go hand in hand. To be an American citizen after what my forefathers went through for me and everybody in between, between the first and the last, gave me a gift. That I get up and live my life the way I choose. That no man tells me. No man. Even in my religion, no man tells me what to believe. I'm going to find out for myself. Nobody's going to tell me how to do it. You can make suggestions all you want to. I got two bosses in my life. One's Jesus, one's hurt. The rest of you people are going to have to get in line. I have such a gift to live free. Get up every morning and choose to go to work. Choose to go down a path that God's made for me to live my life to the full and find joy in my life, and joy in my family. Find joy in the generations and to find joy in the land that God has given us. But I also now have a responsibility. But through covenant with God, all things are possible. And I can do all things. And everything's been given me necessary for life and godliness. I've received a power from on high that a pagan wouldn't possess. I have a knowledge that a pagan wouldn't know. I have an advocate that a pagan doesn't have. I have an intercessor that a pagan is null and void. I have the utmost advantage. I have the most gifts of anybody. Therefore, I have the highest responsibility. For whom a lot's been given, a lot is expected. You can't just sit around and sing Kumbaya on your way to heaven, buy a new bonnet and a necktie once a year and celebrate a fertility goddess and call it a Jesus celebration when you've neglected the Passover. And once you find Passover again, I don't know how you do both. We talked about that last year, you know, when we discussed all that and I told you my problem and y'all helped me with my problem. If you can't tell, it's no longer a problem. I'm extremely emboldened now. I don't have a problem. I don't want to beat anybody up. But as we get ready to take communion tonight, take the Lord's Supper, remember the Passover. Remember what he told Josiah? This calamity's coming. But as for you, Josiah, your heart was tender to what I told you. You wept and you tore your clothes. You'll leave in peace. You'll leave in peace. I told Robin tonight, we've been talking about this stuff a lot. I said, you know what? Who knows how this goes? In our country right now, it's a tinderbox, man, and a time bomb. And nobody even has to factor in the wrath of the Lord if that happens. I don't know how it goes. Honest and truly, I don't know picking one person over another is going to make this go any better. I think it's going to be a disastrous time either way. I don't think there's going to be peace in our land either way. I think there's a pathway to a guy who'll stand with Israel. I think there's a pathway to a guy who'll secure our borders. I think there's a pathway to a guy who knows how to balance the books. I think there's a pathway to a guy who kind of has an ear towards Christianity and God's people. I know there's another pathway to a whole entity out there who is evil and greedy and has no moral compass whatsoever when it comes to the slaughter of infants and it comes to sanctity of marriage, sanctity of life, open borders, all the things that are just ungodly. So I know there's a clear pathway to both of these. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be a peaceful transition one way or the other. And no matter how you vote, does not mean that the church has now pleased God. Oh, that just came from him. Oh, Lord, thank you. A different president will not make God be pleased with the church. Wow. We got to change. We got it. So this is a week of self-examination of our religion. Then we're going to fast and pray, all who choose to, simply we the people, the largest branch of government in America, we the people, are going to choose. As for your house, as for my house, we're going to choose how this is going to go this week. Then we're going to choose how we're going to change. I'm not going to tell you how to change. I've about told you everything I know to tell you. My God, if you hadn't heard enough tonight, what else am I going to tell you? So we're going to choose. We're going to humble ourselves. Come up here, Murph. We're going to share. There's two tables. Y'all come as your free will here in a second. Robin and I are going to go last tonight. Make sure everybody's served and everything's good. Most of you know the story already, but Murph's got his shofar. You heard the scripture that I called, text Murph this morning or yesterday. I knew it for a couple of days, and then I monkeyed around and finally got a hold of him this morning. He's been going all over the place. Look, this is not... people used to blow the shofar around sometimes when I was first coming up as a Christian, and somebody would bring a horn and blow on it, and I didn't get it. And sometimes the people who was doing it just kind of made me want to go get a bologna sandwich. I'm just being honest. I just don't jump every time somebody wiggles a worm out in front of me. I got to know it's from God or I'm out. This guy, boots, blue jeans, this guy, he's one of us. And that girl, standing in Washington, and an Israelite, brings him this horn that they blew on the borders of Israel after October the 7th. And he brings it to West Texas. And all of a sudden, his phone starts ringing, and you've been everywhere, ain't you, Murph? Blowing his horn. 9 times here and 3 times here and 6 times here. North, south, east, west. Blew it over a guy who needed healing laying on his face in the dirt at his farm. He wasn't on the carpet. He wasn't in a building. He wasn't under a steeple. He was laying on the dirt at his farm. Laying on the ground and told Murph, keep blowing. Keep blowing. And he raised his arm. Keep blowing. And he raised his arm. And the only answer a doctor had for a shoulder who was way out of whack, he said, why would it be healed all of a sudden? He said, there's only one way. Did I get that right? We got to quit coming to church and thinking it's enough. You can't come to church. You got to be the church. And laying on our dirt, or driving in our pickup, or sitting in a sale barn, or wherever it is, we got to pray, and we got to believe, and we got to get on our knees, and sometimes you got to just blow the shofar, and sometimes you got to preach, sometimes you got to be quiet, sometimes you got to yell at them. But you got to walk by faith, not by what somebody else told you. You got to walk by faith. And only those who are baptized in the Holy Ghost can do that. Everybody else is a reasonable facsimile. So tonight, at the full moon, at the beginning of the feast, we're going to blow the horn. Before we come and give thanks and repent and whatever it is God deals with you in the blood and the bread. But right now tonight, where you're at, when he begins to blow that horn, if you need healing in your body, you stand up and raise your hands to the Lord. You lay down on your face. I don't care what you do. And if you believe there's healing in the power of moving heaven and earth through that shofar, you tell him to keep blowing. You tell him to keep blowing. I'm tired of directing traffic. I'm tired of it. You tell him to keep blowing. I would, but God healed me about 4 days ago. Whatever that hitch in my get-along was that we've been waiting on as Lord's been driving me towards Passover. You know, I've told y'all this. Something. And all of a sudden, I finally got bold enough just to say what was ever on my mind and didn't consider nothing. Didn't consider nothing. And all of a sudden, I trotted up them stairs. Dave Murphy just begged somebody to watch me. I just trotted up them steps. I'm telling you, God's in the healing business. He's in the miracle business. But he ain't going to do it while you're playing church. That's the end of the story. Be a people of courage. Be strong and courageous. I have given you a land and a place to dwell. I have made you a kingdom of kings and priests. deal in righteousness, the people rejoice. Rejoice today, I say the Lord. Rejoice, for I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your Passover. I will deliver you into the promise. I'll deliver you to where you place your foot is now yours. Where you land your foot is now holy ground. I am with you always to the end of the age. I am the Lord. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am all in between. You are my church. I have raised you for a purpose. I have created you for such a time as this. Now be brave. Be courageous in the love of God, the love of Jesus. Possess the land. Rule in righteousness that my people may rejoice and I be glorified in your living. Glorified in your living, says the Lord. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be well in the name of Jesus. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Be my church. Be my church, says the Lord Almighty. I am your God and you are my people. And that's that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. We're done. So be it. Jim and Rhonda, if you guys want to take and share and pray for a minute, everybody indulge that. They're going to get up there and have a little praise music going on in the background lightly. I want to encourage y'all again tonight. Sometimes just coming and doing this and praying with your family is the bravest thing you ever done in your life. Some of you at home watching on the camera, you're prepared for tonight. So many great stories about what happens in people's houses outside this building while you're watching. Gather your family and pray. Humble yourselves before God. I told you last week that I think that's one of the reasons God healed my hip so it wouldn't hurt so bad when I got down. I could get back up. That's all I got. Y'all come as you will and just make your way up here. Look, if you got family with you, gather your family. We're not going to serve you. You guys get right up here. If you're standing around with somebody by themselves, bring them into your family and y'all take all the time you want to pray, whatever you want to do. Amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.